Gracious Father in heaven, as we bow our heads in prayer, we thank you that you indeed are Lord of all. And Lord, as we recognize you over our lives, we pray that we will have a heart that aims, as Kathleen so beautifully expressed, that we would aim our hearts in a way that honors you, that we would be intentional, and that we would be missional as well. We are a church that desires to invite people into a real relationship with Jesus, that in a world that seems chaotic, we know that the kingdom of God is a safe place. We thank you for the salvation that is ours through Jesus Christ our Lord. And we pray, Lord, as we do almost every Sunday, that we will not leave here the same as we came. So we pray that you would touch hearts this morning, whether online or in person. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Wonderful to have you here this morning. And wonderful for those of you that are online as well. Good to have you here. Just a quick announcement, quick reminder. It's Communion Sunday, so we're going to celebrate communion right after the message. And again, if you're new, relatively new here, we have an open communion, which means if you have made a profession of faith in Jesus Christ, that you are invited to participate with us in communion. And also, we will take a benevolent offering at that time as well. So just want to make you aware of that. There's an adage that says, we will not change unless the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. Many of us don't change or don't think we need to change until something dramatic comes into our lives. How many times have something happened to you that forced you to change? You kind of came to a realization that this event in my life means I can't stay here anymore, that something has to change. And for many of us, we often get pushed in that direction because something has happened in our lives that forces us to reevaluate where we are and have to make that change. Because to stay where we are is more painful than making the change. Now we're going to look at a story that illustrates this beautifully. And it's a story that has to do with the Apostle Peter as we're doing this series on Peter. But let me set the stage for you. Jesus has been arrested. And he is now before the religious council and especially before the high priest. And they're interrogating him. And they're challenging him about his claims of being the Messiah. And I personally forget about this. I think in my own mind that Jesus started to be tortured when the religious council was done with him and surrendered him to the Roman authorities. But the reality was, is when he was in the room with the high priest and the religious officials, they started beating on him in that room. And they challenged him, and they would hit him, and they would say, if you can prophesy, who just hit you? And that was the claim that they would have on him. And that kind of sets the stage for the part of the story we're going to unpack today. Because they're challenging Jesus to talk about the future, to know the future. And because the Messiah would be able to do that. And so to set the stage, I want to read this particular portion of Matthew 26, 69 to 75. Meanwhile, while Jesus is being beaten and challenged in front of the high priest and the religious council, meanwhile, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant girl came over and said to him, "You were one of those with Jesus the Galilean." But Peter denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about," he said. Later, out by the gate, another servant girl noticed him and said to those standing around, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." Again, Peter denied it, this time with an oath. "I don't even know the man," he said. A little later, some of the other bystanders came over to Peter and said, "You must be one of them. We can tell by your Galilean accent." Peter swore, "A curse on me if I am lying. I don't know the man." And immediately the rooster crowed. Suddenly, Jesus's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me." And he went away weeping bitterly. Now, the first thing I want to mention is that it's a miracle that this story is even in the Bible. Do you want to know why? Peter is a leading apostle in the early church. Peter is this figurehead of what the kingdom of God represented. It would have been really easy for the early church to kind of bury this story, because here's a leading person, a leading pillar in the early church, and this is not the kind of story you want sort of like easily, you know, communicated about this particular person, since he is such a leading figure in the early church. But from the story, and the reason why they left it in is because of these lessons that I want to just quickly go through that are so vitally important. Here's what we learn from this particular passage. A belief that's never been tested will be exposed for its cracks. Peter doesn't fall in dramatic fashion or in a premeditated way. He unraveled under pressure. Just hours earlier, go back to verse 33, he is declaring unwavering loyalty to Jesus. "Lord, I'd die before any of this, before I would deny you." And we tend to imagine ourselves standing really firm in those big moments of life, that we would not be like Peter. But the reality is most of our denials when it comes to Christ happens in those small, ordinary moments in our lives. Those small conversations. Have you ever talked to somebody and then you walked away and said, "Oh, I should have said..." Often, many of us will sit in church and we'll claim this boldness about Jesus, and then we go to work Monday morning and we'll make a simple compromise that starts us down the road. Here's the second point. Peter's three denials progress from evasion to an oath and then to cursing. Unchecked compromise grows louder and more aggressive over time. Sin rarely explodes. Sin escalates. It rarely explodes. First, it was just a simple evasion of the question. Secondly, he's making an oath. Thirdly, he starts to curse. Not only does the text imply that he started swearing at them, but he cursed himself if he was lying. And that's a progression that is very quick for Peter. How many of us have, you know, had a small ethical compromise, and then you had to carry the lie for a period of time, and the lie just got bigger? Don't put your up your hand. I'm talking to somebody else. Okay? Been there, done that. How easy it is to happen, right? How, you know, I remember a long time ago my dad saying, don't lie because you have to keep track of it. And at the time, I didn't really understand what he was talking about until I started lying. I have been cured. Or hopefully have been cured. But we've all been there, right? Such a small thing. Small ethical compromise. But do you know that the most dangerous moment isn't when you fail? It's when your failure starts to feel normal. That's when you're really in a dangerous moment. Here's the third thing I want us to realize. Jesus predicted the denials, but he didn't reject Peter. Transformation began when Peter remembered not just his own failure, but Jesus' words. Peter's tears become this moment where it's a potential birthplace of transformation. Do you know that we have nowhere in Scripture, where Peter attempts to justify his actions to Jesus? There's no justification. We have no passage that says, oh, but I was afraid in the moment. And next week, we're going to look at a passage that's a partnership passage to this, and it is, in my estimation, one of the most beautiful passages in all of Scripture. If it doesn't bless your heart, you know, as a follow through to this passage, then I didn't communicate it well enough to you. Okay? So Peter never tries to justify himself, but for Peter, this is a moment that absolutely breaks him. I don't know if you've ever had a moment in your life that actually breaks you. A moment when you realize just what's really in your heart. Peter has received an uncomfortable revelation about himself. What lies deep in his heart. A heart that we have seen from other stories, that it soars one minute, and then the next minute, with the right circumstances, the right opportunity, the right moment, all of those things, he absolutely betrays everything he claimed about Jesus. He became a vessel of betrayal and deception. And in that moment, he walks away weeping bitterly, because he has been broken, and he comes to the full realization of what's in his heart. That's a really difficult place to be for many of us, is to see ourselves for who we really are. And I'm not talking about, you know, let's talk about our dark side only. But there are moments that we can soar like Peter, and there are other moments that we can have a heart that feels so dark, and you kind of say to yourself, where did that come from? Where did that come from? But in this moment, Peter sees himself for who he truly is, and he has now become a fully broken man. But here's the last sort of lesson I think we need to understand, is that failure is often the doorway to transformation. And this last phrase is really important, if you allow it. See, there's many that come to this broken place in their lives and it just breaks them altogether. They come to a broken place in their lives and they can't pick up the pieces. Or they don't allow that moment of brokenness to be an authentic and real evaluation of what's really in your heart. Peter has to come to that place. Because without it, he just becomes a person that continually breaks and breaks and breaks. And if he's not careful, he will break others in the process. Peter's at a literal crossroads in his life. Everything he has claimed from his mouth and claimed by certain actions has absolutely been betrayed in this moment. I don't know if I can personally evaluate psychologically what goes on in his heart and his mind to do that, other than to say it was a moment where he was challenged in a way that he wasn't expecting. And yet, here he is, denying everything he had claimed to do. See, the depth of your repentance often determines the depth of your transformation. We live in a culture that avoids hardships, grief, difficulty, challenges. And in doing so, we often limit the ability to grow at all. Now, I'm not saying we should invite drama into our lives. I'm not saying we invite suffering into our lives or invite pain into our lives. But do we understand it, that it has the potential to be transformative and transformational? Or is it a moment where we just become bitter? Now, we're going to see a trajectory in Peter's life. But I believe that that trajectory that we're seeing in Peter's life would never have happened if he didn't come to this place. And I think it's true for all of us. Because unfortunately, we never become more than the sum of our brokenness. For Peter, he came face to face with his failure, came face to face with his human weakness, while at the same time, he came to terms with Jesus' word in his life. To lean into one just continues the spiral of failure, while leaning into the other is actually the path to transformation. And with that theme of remembering, I'm going to invite the elders to come for our time of communion. And I hope to see you back here next week with the follow-up story of the Apostle Peter. God bless you.